Are we on? Yeah, we're on. Good. Hey, it is good to see each and every one of you. I pray that you have a blessed, blessed Mother's Day. You know, on Tuesday mornings, the elders gather together for prayer, and we pray for about 10 families. We pray through the congregation. So 10 this week, 10 next week, 10 next week, and also any prayer requests that you have. So if you do have prayer requests, tear it off your bulletin, put it in there. Actually, this week was really special for me because God, I sensed his message this morning during the elders' prayer meeting. And so I went back to my office and jotted down notes, and then he revealed more and more of it to me this week. Mother's Day can be just a very difficult time. And our first spiritual foremother, I don't even know if that's a real word, but I put it on there. Our first spiritual foremother, that's what we're going to look at this morning. And I changed this. This is Luke 4, but instead of Jesus said this, instead of me, I put us in here. And I believe this with all of my heart. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us because he has anointed us to preach good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Let me back that up. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us, weans, yawns, whatever it is. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us because he has anointed us to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And you might be thinking, how does that happen? It happens this way. As each one of us are walking in intimacy with the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, when we walk in intimacy with him, people see a difference in us. They see something different. And then we simply invite others to have that intimacy too. If you haven't caught that yet, you've missed the whole meaning of life from my perspective. We were created to walk in intimacy with Abba, Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have that, you don't have the abundant life. And the world needs it. Is the world getting crazier every day? Please raise your hand. How many of us don't even like looking at the news? Man, can't it get worse? And then it just gets worse. But we have the solution. We have the good news. The good news is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And if you don't know about that, please talk to me, because it really is what life is about. Last week, Tables Talk. This is, if you're a visitor, never mind this, but if you're a regular attender, Table Talk. Look at each other in a smile or a frowny face, one or the other. By the way, I did it again this week, and you'll see it at the end. I left the same question in. I changed it in my mind, but it never made it to the bulletin. Anyone ever do that? Yeah, I changed it in my mind. May you truly have a blessed Mother's Day. I pray that you have a blessed, blessed Mother's Day. Moms, thank you. Moms that are here, because we know that if it was up to men to give birth, humanity would be extinct. Amen? It happened once, and then it's gone. It's over. It's over. So moms, thank you, thank you, thank you. And also, Mother's Day can be very emotional. Amen? I already cried a bunch yesterday and this morning, and, you know, hopefully it's all out. I know I have a whole lot more yet, but Mother's Day can just be so emotional. And, you know, for some of us that have had great moms, it's emotional. For some of us that moms are gone, it's emotional. For some of us had moms that did their best, but that wasn't that good, it's emotional. Amen? Can we just agree that we're all trying to do our best? I had the perfect mother for me. Was she perfect? No, but she was the perfect mother for me. Someone just told me something this morning, and I can just hear my mom telling me this. You know, she tried to raise, and you know, she tried to give us culture, but as you can see, it didn't take. I can just hear my mom saying, Dorsey, help me if this is wrong. I can just hear my mom saying, son, if you're going to be stupid, you got to be tough. Is that right? If you're going to be stupid, you got to be tough. I can hear my mom telling me that. And every guy knows exactly what I'm talking about. Man, you hit that. Oh, what? Oh, my. Ah. Okay, back to Mother's Day can be emotional. Okay, just as Adam and Eve are progenitors. Anyone know what that word means? I'd look it up to spell it. Grandmom said, if you can't spell it, don't use it. But I couldn't put Meemaw and Papa on there. Are you with me? Just as Adam and Eve are the progenitors, we all came from Adam and Eve. We all came from Adam and Eve, okay? Every living thing. So too our first foremother, and I don't even know if that's a word, but I made it up. So too our first foremother is Sarah, Abraham's wife, because the forefathers of the Jewish faith and of Christian faith are Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Abraham's wife, Sarah. We're going to look at her today. The Lord just really impressed her upon my heart during the elders' prayer meeting this Tuesday morning that we were to go here. So if you're wondering, that's hot pink, by the way, because last week the red didn't work well. So we're going to try hot pink as the underlying words. So I personally believe that Sarah gets a bum rap. And if there needs to be a W in front of rap, just add it into your notes, because I couldn't figure out if it's W-R-A-P or R-A-P. Sarah gets a bum rap, okay? Because I think that most people, when they think of Sarah, they think of Sarah laughing when the Lord said, you're going to have a child. Now think of this. She's either 90 or 91 years old, and God says, you're going to have a baby. Ladies, what would you do? Either you're going to laugh or you're going to cry. I'm telling you, I believe she gets a bum rap. She gets a bum rap. She's either 90 or 91. The Lord says, you're going to have a baby by this time next year. And she just starts laughing. And I know she denied it before the Lord. Wasn't good stuff. But hey, I see Sarah as an amazing woman of faith, and that's what I want to look at today. You know, our moms, no one here had a perfect mom, but they were doing their best. Our parents were doing their best. Man, my two kids are screwed up. But I did my best, not to screw them up, but hey, it happens. Anyone here a perfect parent? Anyone here, I got teens smiling here, anyone a perfect kid? We got one person living in denial, okay. Come see me afterward. The Apostle Peter and the Holy Spirit both think highly of Sarah too. Not only do I think highly of her, but the Apostle Peter and the Holy Spirit do as well. We're going to look at 1 Peter 3, 3 through 6. And here's what it said of Sarah. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Now, some people have talked to extended family of mine who were wearing jewelry, and they were condemned and said, you should never do that. Now, that's not what this is about today. That is not what this is about today. That is not what this is about today. Your inner beauty should not come from that kind of thing. And this isn't condemning that. This is not condemning that. My dad once said, hey, if your barn needs painting, paint the thing. I know I'm in trouble. Instead, your beauty should be of an inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So he's not saying you can't wear makeup and that kind of thing. He's not saying that. He's not saying it's wrong to have ponytails or braided hair. He's not saying that. Instead of the focus being that, and it's okay to do those things, the real focus needs to be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. And now catch what's next. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called her master. Now, don't get hung up on that stuff. You are daughters, you are her daughters if you do what is right and not give in to fear. We're going to look at what she did. She is a great, amazing woman of faith. And now, the rest of the story. Anyone old enough to remember this guy? All right? Here's the rest of the story. I love, you know, the Old and New Testament go together. And many times in studying the New Testament, you can go to the Old Testament to understand it even more fully. And that's very powerful. So the rest of this story. And always, always keep your finger in the Word of God. Keep your finger in the text. Keep your finger in the text. You know, for years and years, I've done Bible studies and that kind of thing. And people say, well, I think it's this and I think it's that. Almost it doesn't matter what you think. What's he think? Amen? What's the Lord think? What's the scripture say? So Genesis 12, we're going to go back to Genesis. Now, please hear me. I mean, Sarah, she was an amazing individual. And I'm going to show to you why I'm so impressed with her. Hey, 90 years old and guys are lusting after her? Good grief. You know, I want to meet her and I want to meet Eve. I'm going to ask Eve, what were you thinking? Anyway, Genesis 12, 1. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household. Go to a land I will show you. Now, think about this. Think about this. Now, you guys don't, you knew Lynette a little bit, and I would, hey, babe, I'd come home. I'd have an idea. Hey, babe. When I came home, that's what it was. Hey, babe. Either that or hey, woman. One of the two. And she knows something was coming whenever I'd come home and say, hey, babe. So here we are. Abraham comes home and says, hey, babe. Now, I don't know if he said that or not. Are you with me? I'm reading between the lines. All right? But it's what I've done. Hey, babe. We're going to leave civilization. Now, through archaeology, we know that where they were, they had hot and cold running water. We know through archaeological discoveries where they were living, hot and cold running water, indoor plumbing. Hey, babe, we're leaving civilization. Okay, all right. Where are we going and how are we going to get there? Well, babe, we're going to go camping. And we're going to camp in the rest of our lives. Anyone up for that? Ladies, we got a couple of youngsters that are up for it. Camping the rest of your lives. Hey, so Abraham, where are we going? I don't know. Think about this. Hey, babe, the Lord told me. On top of all, hey, babe, the Lord told me. The Lord told me. Oh, really? He didn't tell me. She didn't say that. Now, my wife never said that. But I can promise you, Lynette came to me once or twice, and she said, you better be right on this one. That's the closest Lynette ever came. She just get right in my face, and you better be right. Sarah, they're living in the modern... And he comes home, hey, babe, the Lord said we're to leave. Well, where are we going? I don't know. How long are we going? I don't know. How are we going to make it? We're going to camp. Can you imagine that? For the rest of your life. That's not the end of the hey, babes. So now they're on their way. And she submitted. Nothing in Scripture shows anything else other than she went with Abraham. She followed, and Abraham comes with another, hey, babe. And here's the next, hey, babe. This is the next, hey, babe. And it's a biggie. Now, there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to live for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, which means prince or princess, later their names are changed to Abraham and Sarah, I know that you're a beautiful woman. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but you will live. So you are my sister. Say that you are my sister so that I will be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared because of you. What a wimp. I have some other thoughts. Ladies, hey, we're going into this city and hey, just pretend that you're not my wife so that I'll be saved. Can you imagine that? Ben, if you ever do that, I will kill you. It's my son-in-law. I love Ben. But Ben, if you ever do something like that, I will kill you. Just come and arrest me. You guys going to visit me in jail? But what does the scripture say about Sarah? She believed God. Even when Abraham didn't have the faith, Abraham did not have the faith, his wife did. She believed God. And we could turn there. And so God revealed to the king of Egypt that she's a married woman. And nothing happened to her. Nothing happened to her because she put her faith and trust in God. Not in her husband, in God. And God honored her faith. The story doesn't end there. We got another hey babe. I hope you guys never use my hey babes after this, but hey, it's what I did. Hey babe, pretend again. Can you believe it? Genesis 20, 1 through 3. Now Abraham moved from there into the region of the Negev and lived there between Kadesh and Shur. For a while, he stayed near Ge'er. And I'm not sure how to pronounce these names. We got two guys that can tell you how they're really pronounced. And there Abraham said to his wife Sarah, "She is my sister." Then Abimelech, king of Ge'er, sent for Sarah and took her. But God came to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him, "You are as good as dead, because the woman you have taken, she is a married woman." Does God honor marriage? Is it a serious thing? Does God honor women of faith? Again, chucklehead, knucklehead, whatever you want to call Abraham, did he have the faith to believe that God could protect him? No. He says his wife, "Do it again. Lie again. Lie again." And she does because she doesn't have her faith. I don't believe she puts her trust in Abraham. She puts her trust in God. And what does God do? In a dream, reveals to the king, she's a married woman. God protects her again. I've often wondered, you know, Abraham was about 75 when God promised he'd have a son. He didn't get a son until he was 100. I've often wondered why it took so long. I could be totally wrong. This is all Jeff's thoughts. But I think it took 25 years of God working on Abraham to make him into a dad that was worthy to have a son. I'm not sure, but I think. The story doesn't end there. Now, ladies, you're going to love this, hey, babe. Because there's another one. Genesis 22. Now think about this. You have one child. You only have one child. "Hey, babe, the Lord wants me to take our son and sacrifice him." Every mom in here. Your only child. Your only son. "Hey, babe, the Lord told me to go sacrifice my son, our son." What are you going to do? I think you'd say, "I'll show you a sacrifice." Are you with me? Sarah. Yes, she had her flaws. Yes, she had her moments. Yes, she laughed and denied it when God said that she was going to be pregnant at 90. But again, Sarah believed God and trusted God. in the midst of an unbelievable situation. See, Abraham believed God and it was credited as righteousness, the scripture says of Abraham. But Sarah was an amazing woman of faith. An amazing woman of faith. Sarah was not perfect, but she was a woman of faith. Even when Abraham lacked faith, Sarah put her trust and faith in the Lord God. Moms who are here, thank you for being a mom of faith. My mom was not a perfect mom. At least three times my mom has saved my life where God revealed things to her and I should have died, but I didn't. One of them, my appendix. I was having stomach pains when I was 9 or 10 years old. I remember it, and I remember my mom making such a scene in the hospital demanding that they do exploratory surgery because she said God revealed to her that my appendix was rupturing. Can you imagine making such a scene and forcing them to operate on your kid? This was a long time ago, but it's true. Mom says the doctor came out, wouldn't even look her in the eye. I'm sorry, but your son's appendix did rupture. His peritonitis through his whole body. You'll have to stay in the hospital for a long time. But God divinely intervened. Because my mom is a woman of faith. My mom's not perfect, but my mom is a woman of faith. She's not putting her trust in her husband, not putting her trust in me. Did she submit to authority? Does she submit to authority? Yes, but she trusts in the Lord God, and when he tells her something, you step in faith believing it. Moms, I know some of you here have some impossible situations that you're facing. I know you do. We all do. And scripture is saying, can we be like Sarah? Sarah put her faith and trust in the Lord. This was Lynette's favorite verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Did it make sense to leave hot and cold running water and go camping the rest of your life? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Did it make sense to let your husband lie and say that, oh, she's my sister. Now, she was his half-sister, so it was only half lie. By the way, half lies are still lies. Half lies are still lies. He did it twice. Twice God rescued her. I believe, scripture doesn't say it, but I believe it's because of her faith and trust in God. She believed God. She trusted God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. Now, it's not saying be stupid, but if God reveals himself to you, if he whispers to you, if he reveals himself through scripture, trust him. Put your trust in him. All of us have impossible situations. And most of us man up or woman up and try our best and do and do and do and do. The reality is, let's put our trust in God. Lean not in your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Let's put our trust in him. And another favorite psalm of mine is Psalm 31. Fret not because of, and then it's got a whole list. It's got a whole list. But in verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Does anyone here believe that I have advanced degrees in patience? Raise your hand. And if you raise your hand, you have no clue of who I am. But being still before him and waiting on him is worth it. Not only do you get the intimacy, but many times he reveals his will. Just like in prayer this week, I'm Mother's Day, Mother's Day. Oh, man, Mother's Day. Mother's Day. what am I going to say on Mother's Day? And in prayer, waiting on him, he just revealed it. So if you don't like this message, tell him. If you don't like it, I probably messed it up. But I know it was his message. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. I don't know about you guys, but my life is busier than busy. It's not healthy. It's not spiritually healthy. Fret not. Be still. Wait patiently. Sarah, our foremother, and again, I don't even know if it's a word, was a woman who put her trust in the Lord. Are we willing to quiet our hearts and wait patiently before him? Here's the actual table talk question, since I only had it in my mind and didn't change it. What do you think about Sarah's situations in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? To trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So this morning, what are you fretting over? What are you fretting over? What do you need to trust the Lord for today? It's only 11 o'clock. Guess what we're going to do? We're going to quiet ourselves and wait patiently. Because that's what the scripture says. Fret not. Be still before the Lord. And wait patiently. Our teachers have your kids. It's all good. It's all good. So, let's let our Abba Father know what's on our hearts. If you would, I'm going to lead us in a short prayer, and then let's just wait in his presence and practice what the scriptures say. If we can't do it here, are we going to do it through the week? If we can't do it here, we're not going to do it at all. Amen? Let's look to the Lord. Oh, Father, I confess to you and before my brothers and sisters. Please forgive me for how I fret, and then I take things into my own hands. And I do everything in my power to either fix it or get her done or whatever it is. And only as a last resort do I come to you. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Holy Spirit, come. You have been here from the moment we gathered together in the name of Jesus. You've been here through the prayer, through the worship, through this message. You're here now. Holy Spirit, continue to come upon each one of us. Bring to our hearts and our minds the things that we're fretting about, the concerns that we have. Help us, even right now, to be still, to wait patiently. To just wait on you. Help us to trust in you with all of our heart, like Sarah did time and time again. And yes, how Abraham eventually did with his son. He trusted you even if he was to slay his only son. He believed that you'd raise him from the dead. Please. Holy Spirit, draw us into your presence, into the presence of Abba, Father, Jesus, and you, Holy Spirit. Enable us to quiet our hearts, to be still, to seek you. and to just unload our burdens on you.